Well, Sport Now from the BBC with me, Colin Harrison. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Manchester United manager David Moyes plays down talk of a fly past aimed at getting him sacked.
I've heard of it, I've heard what they're saying about it. People can do that, they're entitled to do that. I'm more driven to succeed more than ever.
India's cricketers sealed their place in the semi-finals of the World 2020, and Nadal and Djokovic both make the final of the Miami Masters without hitting a ball. The Manchester United manager David Moyes says he's not fazed by reports that some fans have hired a plane to fly over Old Trafford on Saturday with a banner calling for him to be sacked. United face Aston Villa in the day's early kick-off, with Moyes insisting any planned protest won't affect him or his team.
I've heard of it, I've heard what they're saying about it, but you know, this is something which it's a long journey here, and this is only the start of the journey. And people can do that, they're entitled to do that. You work hard to get to this place in the first place, but I've got to say, I'm more driven to succeed more than ever, because obviously I want the team to turn around. I really do believe we can do that.
Well, Manchester United against Aston Villa is the first of seven games taking place in the English Premier League on Saturday. Looking ahead to the match itself and the rest of them, here's Ian Brown.
Old Trafford is usually a focus of attention at this time of season, but this year the reasons are different. It's not about the title race, but saving face. How desperately David Moyes needs a win for Manchester United, with the games against Bayern coming up. Aston Villa are the latest to try and profit from the United malaise. It's the Saturday 12:45 kick-off. Villa boss Paul Lambert says United have not become a bad side overnight, but he is optimistic.
If we play the way we can, especially away from home, we can definitely cause trouble. And their intent is to go and win the game. I'm not going up there to sit and think, well, do you know what, they're having a hard time, but we'll sit and wait for a draw, sit and wait for something to happen, and we'll go and try and win. And we know if we can get the crowd against them, then we've got a chance.
Game of the day is at 5:30, with title favourites Manchester City aiming to build on their win in the Manchester derby by causing more discomfort for Arsenal at the Emirates. Some believe Arsenal could yet struggle to finish fourth. Arsene Wenger will only admit chances of finishing top are diminishing.
I believe that we have to keep going, despite the fact that we had last two negative results. If people say that Everton can catch us, that means we can catch the teams above us as well, because they play against each other as well. It is the next game that is, of course, very important, and the next game is of a massive importance, because it's Man City who fights at the top. They are the favourites, with Chelsea and Liverpool, but when you play one of the favourites, you have an opportunity to make a shorten the distance with them.
Plenty of interest in the 3 o'clock games, not least at Selhurst Park, where Tony Pulis will surely have a plan to stifle leaders Chelsea. The Crystal Palace manager, though, is under no illusions.
On the balance, if you're looking at the two clubs and what they've got and what they haven't got, then it's, you know, it's a very, very uneven contest. But football's a funny old game. So, you know, if we go there and we set ourselves up well and we give everything we possibly can, like I say, you never know in this game.
There are some monumental games near the bottom. At the Hawthorns, it's West Brom against Cardiff, teams who, between them, have won 5 out of 41 in the Premier League. Then there's Swansea against Norwich. Both have picked up a point or two recently. Gary Monk knows his long-term future at Swansea is at stake, and he's warning Norwich cannot be underestimated.
They're a side where I think their league position belies where they, you know, how good they are. You know, I'm not just saying that, but I do. I've watched a number of their games. I think they've got some very good players, and I think we're in for a tough game. That message has come across to the players this week.
Stoke City look safe now and are at home to Hull, who probably need one more win. Southampton v Newcastle is a bit of a comfort zone special. Alan Pardew returns to his old club, still banned from the touchline, but allowed back into the ground to take some of the heat off his assistant John Carver. The Newcastle manager very keen to be hands-on again.
It's just good to be in the dressing room, because you know, you take a personality out of a dressing room when you've only got a small team, and it's going to affect it. If John wasn't there, it would affect it. So obviously me not being there would affect it more, perhaps. I'm looking forward to having some impact in there, because this is a big game for us. They're a team that right on our heels, and we want to try and get a win after the other night when for two-thirds of the pitch again we're pretty good, and the last third not good at all. So we got to get more goal threat on the pitch, and that's something we're looking at for this weekend.
Newcastle manager Alain Pardew ending that report there by Ian Brown. In France, Paris Saint-Germain are now 13 points clear at the top of Ligue 1. Edinson Cavani scored the only goal of the game as they won at Nice on Friday night. And Schalke have moved up to second in the German Bundesliga. Klaas-Jan Huntelaar was among the scorers as they beat Hertha Berlin 2-0. Staying with football, the final qualifying matches in the African Champions League take place over the weekend. The last 16 will be whittled down to 8 teams that go into the group phase of the competition. Looking ahead to the pick of the ties, here's BBC Africa's Nick Cavill.
Three of the biggest names in African club football need to overturn first leg losses if they are to make it through to the group stages of this year's Champions League. Reigning champions Al Ahly of Egypt not only elect a new board of directors this weekend, they are also 1-0 down as they host their namesake Al Ahly Benghazi of Libya in Cairo on Saturday. Four-time winners TP Mazembe of DR Congo will look to home advantage in Lubumbashi and an away goal as they look to overcome Sewe San Pedro of Ivory Coast, who lead 2-1. But the biggest task of the weekend, though, is that of Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa. They are 3-0 down against DR Congo's AS Vita Club. The Chiefs will hope that a big crowd gets behind them, but they do have some competition from a special fan park in Johannesburg this weekend that is screening live English Premier League matches. And the Chiefs match, well, that clashes with Arsenal against Manchester City.
Good luck to them. On to cricket. In India have become the first team to qualify for the semi-finals of the World 2020. They did it with a comfortable 8-wicket victory over the host nation Bangladesh. The West Indies, meanwhile, look favourites to join them from Group 2. They chased down 179 to beat Australia by 6 wickets with just 2 balls to spare, thanks to Darren Sammy's unbeaten 34 of just 13 balls. Alison Mitchell reports.
Australia, it must be said, have been involved in 2 exciting matches here in Dhaka now, but both times they've come out on the wrong side, meaning they're on the brink of exiting the tournament. But this match against the West Indies had more than a little personal spice to it, with various players having histories, shall we say, and James Faulkner stoking things up before the match by saying, with some feeling, that he didn't like the West Indies and was looking forward to knocking them out of the tournament. Well, the West Indies were set 179 to win. Chris Gayle smashed a half century, and it was left for James Faulkner, who else, to bowl the final over to Darren Sammy, the West Indies captain, with 12 needed to win. Consecutive sixes sealed it for the West Indies, which sparked wild and vehement celebrations from Chris Gayle in particular. And Sammy afterwards confirmed that those celebrations were fuelled by Faulkner's pre-match comments. Well, after all the excitement of that match, India's victory over Bangladesh felt pretty routine. They were never troubled in chasing the hosts 138 for 7, and they reached their target with 8 wickets to spare, thanks largely to a century stand between Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma. And that win puts India into the semi-finals. They've got this one final group match, though, against Australia to come.
And on Saturday in Group 1, it's New Zealand versus Netherlands and South Africa versus England. One other cricket line, the former England batsman Kevin Peterson has entered Thursday's draft for this year's Caribbean Premier League. The tournament will be held in July and August. Before that, Peterson will captain the Indian Daredevils in the Indian Premier League and then play for Surrey in England's domestic competition. Daredevils in the Indian Premier League and then play for Surrey in England's domestic competitions. Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic have both reached the final of the Miami Masters, and neither of them had to play a semi-final. Nadal received a walkover when Thomas Berdych pulled out with gastroenteritis, and that was just hours after Kei Nishikori of Japan withdrew from his semi-final against Djokovic because of a groin injury. And finally, in Formula One, Mercedes set the pace in Friday's practice for the Malaysian Grand Prix on Sunday. Lewis Hamilton was quickest in the first practice session, and his teammate Nico Rosberg, who of course won last week's Australian Grand Prix, was quickest in second practice. Stay with us, if you can, for further updates throughout the day. But for now, that is your latest world sport from the BBC.